Chapter 13. Another high-pitched scream ripped through the peace of the common room, and all of us who had our eyes trained on the ceiling snapped out of our shock.
"What is that?"
Rylan asked. "Stay with Mr. Jenner, Rye," I ordered firmly, and then I unsheathed my blade as I ran down the corridor with Horace hot on my heels.
"But I can help,"
my son protested as he joined the crowd following me.
"I said no,"
I barked, and gave him a look that meant I was dead serious. He huffed but stayed back with Jenner, like I said. Getting the rest of the crew to stay behind was another story, and none of them would hear it as we raced up the stairs as a group when another scream tore through the air.
"Go! Go!"
Rufus met up with us with a frantic flapping.
"Rufus!" Bowden shouted. "Where's Vale?"
"Go!"
The gold seeker squawked again and led us to one of the bedrooms.
"This is Ani's room,"
Horace commented as the rest of the color drained from his face. Another pained wail sounded from the balcony, and the Falcon Man and I both rushed ahead with our weapons brandished. But there was no visible enemy to fight, only Velralla contorting on the ground with something clutched in her hand.
"Vela!"
Bowden screamed, and he struggled between Zoe and Mel to try to get to the fallen cockatoo woman.
"No, don't! There's something controlling her!"
Shay pointed to the object clutched in Vel's hand.
"Anwar and Mitchin are on their way,"
Amaya said with her hands pressed against the wall like the best locator device on the market.
"What's in her hand?" I asked.
"It looks like a hand mirror,"
the Phoenix woman said.
"Ah!"
Vel screamed again, and her back arched off the ground.
"We can't wait much longer,"
I said, as I returned my sword and rushed to the cockatoo woman's side.
"Don't!"
Amaya gasped and then fell to her knees.
"She's going to die!"
I shouted as I attempted to pry the trinket out of the birdwoman's iron grip. But I jerked my hand away when the metal handle burned my flesh.
"Oh, fuck!"
"Alex!"
Anwar suddenly pushed through the crowd.
"We have to get it out of here before it accomplishes its goal. Velralla is the obstacle to the Prophetess."
I glanced behind me and watched as Amaya sagged against Shay with a delirious look on her ashen face, and her eyes were a shock of white.
"How?"
I turned to the Ibex woman as she examined the hand mirror.
"Horace, help us hold her down,"
the mage ordered, and the Falcon Man immediately crouched down and pressed Vel's shoulders into the floor.
"Alex, let me see your right hand."
"This?" I held out my hand, palm up, and flexed my fingers, and when I did, the odd snake-like curse scar seemed to undulate around my forearm.
"You have already been infected with a malevolent curse and are stronger for it,"
Anwar explained.
"You have the best chance of neutralizing the threat. I'm going to place a protection around your hand, and after I do, you have to try to get it away from her."
"Okay, I'm ready," I said, and held my hand out for her to do her thing. The Ibex woman closed her eyes as she rapidly chafed her palms together to rev up a bright red glow. Then she spread her hands apart, and the glow coalesced into an orb I was able to put my hand in.
"Take it from her,"
Anwar ordered, as her eyes sparkled like opals.
"It must be contained."
"Ah!"
Vel screamed again, and with my left hand I held her flailing arm while I used my glowing right one to pry the mirror away from her.
"It hurts!"
"I know, hang on,"
I grunted, and finally got the object away from her.
"Throw it in the air, Alex,"
the mage cried out, and I did what she asked. The mirror and the little bubble surrounding my hand flew up and then hovered in the air as Anwar took over, and I shook my hand out to dispel the sharp pins and needles sensation in my fingers.
"Vel,"
I asked and cupped her face, "are you okay?"
"Hi."
She shuddered and closed her tear-filled eyes.
"Vela!"
Bowden finally broke through Zoe and Mel's hold and slid onto his knees next to her. She didn't say much, but she did turn toward the raccoon man, clung to his carpenter vest, and buried her face in his chest.
"Horace, help me with the runes,"
Anwar instructed, as she moved herself and the cursed artifact away from the rest of us with Horace on her heels.
"Where is she?"
Madame Midgen's voice floated out to the balcony, and I turned in time to see the tops of the medicine woman's large satellite bat ears bobbing through the doorway.
"Amaya is..."
Shay started, but the Oryx woman in question interrupted her.
"No, I'm fine. Help Velralla first,"
she said as she sat up on her own without the help of my Phoenix wife. Midgen redirected her path, and I got out of her way so she could do her assessment on the shaken cockatoo woman.
There now, let me just see.
The Batwoman cooed, and Vel carefully extended her injured hand.
Not too bad. Not in a little balm, some tea, and rest won't cure. You'll be lucky.
She's gonna be all right? Bowden asked in a trembling voice.
Aye.
The healer said as she produced a roll of bandages and a small jar of sticky ointment. And then she slathered the sore-looking patch on the cockatoo woman's hand.
She will need to spend a night in the infirmary. Will you bring her there?
Me? Bowden asked, and then looked down at the woman in his arms.
If you don't mind.
Vel demurred and lowered her eyes.
I feel quite dizzy, and I'm not sure I can manage the stairs on my own.
Oh, m'lady, the gallant raccoon man breathed. And when Midgen finished wrapping Vel's hand, Bowden lifted her up in his wiry arms.
Take her,
the Batwoman ordered with a flick of her three-fingered hand.
I'll be along in a bit.
Feel better, Velralla, I said.
I still need to send correspondence to...
Don't worry. We'll get it done for you, I assured her. You just rest. Everyone wished the cockatoo woman well, and I watched the two of them head out with a frown. What the fuck happened? I asked, as my temper simmered under the surface and my eyes landed on Anwar and Horace, still trying to defuse the volatile artifact. I thought I expressly forbade enchanted artifacts in the upper wing.
She must have been looking for Rufus and found the artifact among my things,
Anwar said, as she walked over with the now broken and twisted hand mirror. This looks familiar, I said, and took the warped object from her. We found this in the Eyrie, didn't we?
Yes,
the Ibex woman said, while the others gathered around to see.
I was drawn toward it because it had a familiar signature. The prophetess?
Zoe asked with a thin, arched eyebrow.
You told them.
The Ibex woman turned her long-horned head in her sister's direction where she was still sitting on the floor.
I didn't mean to,
she said as Madame Midgen peered into her eyes and felt her forehead.
I'm sorry, Anna. It's not your fault.
The mage sighed and then turned her attention to me.
It's mine. I meant to talk to you about this, Alex. I was hoping we could have discovered more about the artifact. But, at the very least, I should have found a vault to store this in. I am sorry for the harm I have caused, Velralla.
Any of the slight anger I felt before disappeared at the Ibex woman's pinched frown and earnest apology. It's okay, I said, as I rubbed the back of my neck. To be honest, I completely forgot about the object until I saw it again.
That actually might not be anybody's fault, Horace interjected, as he took the twisted metal out of my hands. When I was trying to decode the runes, there was an old one that took me a while to remember. It's a concealment rune that makes you forget about its significance. It most likely explains why neither of you gave the mirror any sort of priority the moment you stopped thinking about it.
Sneaky, I muttered, and then glanced at Amaya. Are you sure you're okay?
I am well,
the Oryx woman said, and she was helped up to her feet again by the medicine woman.
You need rest,
Midgen said with a stern scowl.
In fact, I would suggest all of you have early nights so you all be bright-eyed for the festival preparations.
Shay yawned and rubbed her eyes.
That sounds like a wonderful idea. I confess, I'm still a bit drained.
I'll make you some of that tea, m'lady, Mel said from where he was standing by, mostly forgotten.
Will you bring it up to me, Mel?
She asked.
With extra honey, m'lady.
He bowed and ran off to the scullery to make himself useful. You okay? I asked as I tugged Shay's wrist.
Nothing a little rest won't fix,
the Phoenix woman said, and then glanced at the Augur woman.
Right, Amaya?
Amaya blinked as if startled by being addressed.
Oh, yes. But nonsense, you heard the madam.
Shay cooed and folded one of the Oryx woman's arms in hers.
Come, I'll brush your hair.
Amaya glanced at Shay with an astonished expression, like she was both confused but cautiously delighted to be enveloped in Shay's warm, nurturing glow. And when she made eye contact with me, I smiled at her in encouragement.
Go on, Maya.
Anwar gave the Oryx woman the last push she needed to let Shay whisk her away.
Oh, this will be such fun,
Shay chattered as she and the Augur woman floated away. What are you two going to do? I asked the Falcon Man, and his eyebrows flew upward. Do what? Horace looked anywhere but at me or Anwar, and when I glanced at the Ibex woman, she smirked through her blush. Okay, well, whatever. Just don't stay up too late like Madam said. I punched my friend in the shoulder. Speaking of Madam, would you like an escort back to the infirmary?
Yes, lad,
she said, and I offered her my elbow for her to hold.
This wonky wing has nearly done me in.
I, for one, am glad for your wing, I said. You have impeccable timing, as always.
Bah,
she said, and gestured like she was waving away a bothersome gnat. But she couldn't quite keep the flattered smile from tugging at her lips.
I'll go with you, husband,
Zoe said, and took up Midgen's other arm.
And after, I can show you the designs I've been working on for a seal.
Awesome, I said, and then I paused to glance over my shoulder before we left. Rue?
Scrawl?
The yellow crow moth cawed from inside the room, and then flew out to land on my head. In his dusty little paws, I spotted what must have been the letter Vel was in the middle of addressing. I'll finish with you after we get the good doctor downstairs, I said. He clicked, and then hopped down to my shoulder. Ready? I grinned. And then our weird entourage departed from the upper wing and down to the western wing.
Madam, please remember to rest yourself,
Zoe said as she helped the Batwoman sit in a chair at the end of the curtained four-poster beds. Yeah, Midge, I agreed and glanced around the mostly empty hall. Where's all the staff that's supposed to be helping you?
They be working so hard, so I give them the night off before the festival,
she said and rubbed her elbow and the leathery wing surrounding it.
But you've been working hard, too,
Zoe argued and placed her hand on the weary woman's shoulder.
You are approaching the threshold where you will be too exhausted to do any good.
I quite agree, my dear, I quite agree,
Mr. Jenner's voice intoned quietly enough that none of the patients were disturbed from their much-needed rest, but loud enough so we could all hear the consternation in his tone. Behind him, at least 7 or 8 aides dressed in plain beige frocks were already overseeing what needed to be done in the infirmary. And before Midgen could even utter a protest, the disapproving koala man had already cut her off with a sharply raised palm. She started to get up, but Zoe gently pushed her back down.
Not now, madam, Jenner admonished. You promised you wouldn't tax yourself. I had a feeling I would need a few people on standby, and I was right.
You guys really are a pair with perfect timing, I chuckled, and then kissed the hard-working medicine woman on the back of her hand. Madam?
Jenner, take care of her,
the catwoman said.
I shall, he said gravely. Oh, and I sent young Rylan off to finish his chores. He should be in the stables, if you are wondering.
Go on, you two.
Midgen shooed us away as she let Jenner fawn over her. Zoe and I exchanged matching smiles and then left the two lovebirds to bicker to their heart's content. Those two, I chuckled, as we started walking leisurely arm in arm through the quiet manor.
This place doesn't feel as oppressive as it used to,
my cat wife commented as we traversed the warmly lit corridors on our way to the library. I think it's all the work Anwar and Horace have done trying to untangle the trap runes, I said.
Untangle?
She queried. I asked Horace to try and explain it to me yesterday, I said. Apparently, runes are hard to read because multiple ones can be layered on top, and so he has to figure out which rune is what.
Intriguing.
She hummed as her ears perked forward and her tail swished like it did whenever there was a topic she wanted to dissect and understand.
Is that what Anwar does?
Anwar, I guess, can't read runes, but she can feel the intent of the magic, or something, I tried to describe. It's kind of confusing, actually, but from what I gather, Anwar could dismantle the enchantments herself, but with Horace actually able to read the purpose of each rune, the mage doesn't have to spend so long trying to decipher based on intention alone.
They really are a matched pair,
the catwoman sighed, and I kissed the side of her head. If the expression on her face was any indication, I likely understood the warm feeling inside her chest at seeing some of our dear friends find a little romantic happiness. Does that make you, Shay, and me a match set? I asked.
That sounds nice,
she purred.
A matched set. Because a set doesn't imply a limit. After all, there are sets of 3, 5, 6, 8... Any number can be a set as long as the separate parts complement the whole.
So you're saying sets can also be added to? I asked, as I looped an arm around her shoulders and drew her in. Like Amaya?
I believe Shay has made it abundantly obvious what we both think of the matter, husband, so you may stop fretting.
She said with a kind smile and smoothed the pinched wrinkle between my furrowed eyebrows with her thumb.
All is well.
And with that, Zoe laid to rest any more lingering qualms I had over the matter. And we spent the rest of the short trip to the library in companionable silence.
Over here.
My catwife led me around Jenner's ovular center desk and back through the maze of narrow floor-to-ceiling bookcases. Now that it was getting to be evening time, the light pouring in through the vaulted skylights was a lavender hue. The glowstones were starting to grow in strength as twilight gave in to the night, and the ambiance made the angel in front of me glow with ethereal beauty. I followed like a moth to the flame and grinned when she sat me down in that cushioned bay window, pulled her sketch pad off the shelf of the nearest bookcase, and then crawled into my lap.
Shay was telling me about what is required in a seal,
Zoe explained as she tapped the cover of the sketch pad. I didn't know there were requirements, I said, and I hooked my chin over her shoulder and squeezed her waist.
Well, there aren't requirements per se,
she clarified.
What I should have said was identifying features instead of requirements.
Ah, right, of course, I said, and moved the heavy fall of her black bramble hair over her opposite shoulder. What identifying features do we have?
Well, the first is the shape of the seal,
she said, and flipped to the first page of her sketchpad, where there were rows and rows of several different polygons roughly sketched out like doodle practice.
Most ashers use this shape to denote how many estates they have.
So our seal should be a triangle, right? I asked.
Correct, if you want to be traditional,
Zoe said. I'm sensing a but somewhere, I remarked, and placed a small kiss on her scapula.
But it is my opinion we stray from the traditional,
she said, and flipped to the first set of drawings she had worked on.
We don't necessarily want to broadcast to all and sundry how many assets you own.
Yeah, that's not beneficial or strategic at all, I said, and then kissed the top of her collarbone.
Exactly. So I think the circle or the oval is our best bet, because it is vague and doesn't imply anything about your assets,
she posited.
Besides, I have it on good authority. The oval is the current fashion.
Good authority, huh? I asked. Okay, so the first identifier doesn't really identify.
Yes, it is a bit of a misnomer,
she giggled.
Moving on to the second identifier. Usually there is something in the design that tells the masses what you have to offer. Dollar's estate always had a pair of wings to represent their canterfly breeding.
Chacane has a set of hook swords, I said.
Yes, weapons usually symbolize protection,
the catwoman recited like the diligent student she was.
Which makes sense, because the whole purpose of the council is to protect.
So what do Brightwood Estates have to offer, do you think? I traced the sketches of the spiky coley flower with one finger. Flowers?
Well, at first I kept sketching Lula.
She turned to the next page that was filled with drawings of the pretty bumblebird queen. Because of the honey, I asked. You think it'll be a hit?
The honey will definitely be popular to the elite, because it is a luxury item. But I really think your coley drink will revolutionize Aventol.
Revolutionize? I murmured against her neck, and made sure to add extra buzz to the Z sound so I could feel her squirm against me.
I'm serious,
she giggled.
You have made a product that is relatively cheap for the masses, and is deadly useful.
Someone has been doing her homework, I teased, and leaned back and regarded her with an impressed look.
Velrala is the one who knows her stuff,
she said, and I could feel the heat of her blush.
I just listen.
Don't downplay it, I said, and squeezed her again. So, the coley flower. I'm down with that. I kind of like this design here, where you made it look like the flower itself is also a star.
I like that one, too,
she said, and brought the book up closer to examine it.
It's also the easier seal to replicate, in case you need to hand-draw it for a signature.
You know me so well, I chuckled and went back to my nuzzling. I can't draw for crap.
That's why I designed it like that,
she said, and cupped my cheek before she kissed me on the mouth. Okay, so oval, check. Coley blossom, check, I ticked off. But what's this symbol you have here? I pointed to the odd rounded square with a dot in the center, drawn in the middle of the blossom.
The third identifying marking is usually the initials of the owner,
she said. But this isn't my initials, I pointed out.
I know, but they are to me,
she said, and I could hear the confused frown in her voice. What do you mean, kitten? I asked as I stared at the odd symbol.
When I think of you, Brightwood, that's the symbol I see in my head,
she said, even though I could tell that trying to describe something this abstract was a struggle. Huh. Okay, I shrugged and then nibbled on her neck again. Who am I to argue with the artist?
But you can argue,
she sighed as she rolled her head to the side to give me more access.
It is your seal.
But I like what you've done, I said, as I ran my hands over her toned body. I want to try it out right away on stuff. What can I sign?
You flatter me too much.
She laughed when I blew a raspberry into the juncture of her neck and shoulder. Maybe I can sign you, I purred. And then I tried my best to replicate the strokes of the seal with my tongue against her collarbone.
Alex,
she sighed, and tangled her fingers through my hair. We were really getting into our impromptu, steamy makeout session when Zoe suddenly froze and her ears perked straight up at attention. I noted the change in her demeanor instantly and tried to follow her wide gaze as it tracked around the space. Zoe, I whispered. What is it?
I heard something,
she whispered back. I strained my ears to try and hear what her superhuman hearing had informed her of. What sounded like a bowl being tipped and then rocking back in place caught my attention, and I opened my eyes wide in the dim light. The only thing that looked like it moved was the tall vase sitting on the floor. What do you think it is? I asked.
I think we have a spy,
Zoe whispered back,